Hello. Hi. Welcome to the Comedy Club podcast. I'm Dustin Coffin. With me, the very funny Rachel Scanlon. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. That's out of habit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just I go, then you go. But
she's like, you smoking? She saw an ashtray. He's like, you smoking here? And I'm like, we do. And then I'm like, I can roll you one. You're like, roll?
I mean, everything about you is actually bringing me so much bliss right now. From the second I got here, you walked upstairs in these like camo JNCO jeans, which are authentic.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, something about the size of your body and your glasses, like I'm just into your whole, you roll your own cigs.
Yeah, I put these filters, if you can see that, I actually put a little cotton filter in there. So it's not, I can't do just unfiltered tobacco.
No.
But I will roll it very quickly.
Here's the thing. I only smoke when I'm in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And that's what I've decided. Or the UK, of course.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know that people still did this.
They don't.
You're like, I'm a freak.
They do not.
Wait, you know what's so crazy? You didn't tell me your name.
Dustin.
And that makes total sense.
I'm the Dustin.
You're giving Dustin energy. In a very, very uplifting way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the JNCOs are wonderful. You did mention them, and
yeah,
you just got to buy them from the website. They're a little expensive. They're a couple hundred dollars.
Okay.
But the durability, yes. Man, they last forever.
See, here's the thing. My jeans are, I think, Old Navy. I think they were my wife's jeans that I stole, and they'll fall apart in 2 minutes. And no shade to Old Navy, all you Old Navy heads, JNCO. It's no JNCO, baby. I'll say that. It's no JNCO.
They start off a darker color. Like that's what I have. Like, and after you've had them so long and washed them so many times that they just become a faded camo green instead of this vibrant when you first buy it. But this is my third pair because I keep losing weight and I just keep buying like a size. And they don't sell the camos anymore.
Are you on the shot? What's the deal?
No, I lost and then I held for like a year. So now I'm trying to lose again.
Yes.
Like my kids and I are all doing like a no added sugar thing right now and stuff like that.
How much weight did you lose?
Originally about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
I think I put about 10 back on.
Yes.
And I was like, eh.
Yeah. I lost 60 pounds.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
No shot.
No shot. I became I lost 60 pounds. I got sober. So no more drinking. And then I started running.
Okay. Those are two good things that'll help because you're burning and getting rid of a lot of sugar.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I have also replaced alcohol with sugar and running.
What was your drink of choice? Was it just beer?
Jack? No. Oh, okay. Like whiskey. I was like a whiskey girl.
Oh, like real drinks. Good for you.
Yeah. Bullet bourbon on the rocks.
Oh yeah.
I just fucking double bourbon. You do pickleback? You ever do a pickleback?
I don't drink much.
Okay. And that's fine.
I've never had you said pickle?
Pickle. Pickle's like, you know, pickle juice. Are you familiar?
Yeah. I know pickle juice. I like pickles.
Yeah. You take a shot of whiskey and then they give you like a shot of pickle juice as the chaser. And that was my shit.
See, like I own two clubs, essentially two bars, and I've never had that. I drink probably less than any bar owner you might ever meet. And it's great. I'm not drinking my stash. If I was a heavy drinker and had free access, it'd be a disaster.
I'm so glad that I got sober before I started like heavily touring because I think it would just be fucking brutal to every night be like fucked up and then have to travel.
So like I don't not drink,
okay,
but I don't get drunk and I hardly ever drink. Like I'll get tipsy on New Year's Eve with champagne.
Okay.
If I'm like out on a date, maybe I'll have like a fruity drink and then usually I'll be like, this is gross and drink half and not finish it or something like that.
That always like blew my mind. Somebody with a drinking problem, seeing people with half, I've never not finished a drink that I started.
So I used to like a beer, like nice beer. Let me get a good beer. And I would drink it until dinner came and then I would just stop. I'm like, good. I don't want it.
And I wouldn't eat dinner. That's the thing. I wouldn't eat. I would just drink.
I'm very full.
I've had 8 whiskeys and like nothing but pickle juice. I'm like, I'm fucking stuffed. So you own the club that I'm going to tomorrow?
Yep.
Look at you.
Look at me. Look at me.
Look at him.
Look. Why aren't you looking?
Wow.
Yes.
Are you from out here?
Yes. Yes.
And
yes,
we're
yes.
so close to Kansas. We're not in Kansas.
Kansas cross street. Now, the club tomorrow in Lawrence, that's definitely Kansas. That's KU.
Yeah, people keep telling me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been promoing it wrong a lot.
I've
been saying Look out, Missouri. Also, I was in St. Louis 3 nights ago.
Okay.
Flew back to LA.
Oh, God.
You flew back.
You should have just...
I know. As I was on the plane, I was like, I'm such a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Because I could have just stayed.
Stayed.
But I was staying in a hotel that smelled like fish, so...
You could have come here.
I know.
We have... That hotel you're at now does not smell like fish.
No, it's nice.
You can probably get a nice fish downstairs, though, or a steak or something.
There's a lot of things around there that could eat.
Yeah.
Now that I'm on food again.
And the Lawrence Hotel is, like, downtown, right across the street from the club. It's really cool.
Okay, I'm excited.
Just walk there.
The second I got here, I was like, you know what? I'm in good hands.
You're in good hands.
I like it here.
We're like Allstate.
Exactly. hand-rolled cigs.
Welcome to the comedy club.
How'd you get into the business? I've worked at comedy clubs like my whole time of doing stand-up. I worked at like multiple comedy clubs, Minnesota and Los Angeles.
Like work?
Yeah. I mean, I was like a door guy. I did sound. I did ticket booth and I was a waitress. So I've done kind of the gamut of the things.
So I started comedy. I was a comic I've been in this industry for like probably over 25 years now.
Holy shit.
So I started, you know, comedy, and then I was the guy who would just wanted to be at the club no matter what. So I would go there as a very green comic and just... I'd help seat the room. I'd hold the door. I just whatever I could do to be in the room.
Yeah.
To be around comedy, to watch people perform.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to do.
I did the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to do stand-up from the second I was like young watching like Comedy Central Presents and like Premium Blend and like Last Comic Standing. And I was like, that's all I need to do. Then I started working at comedy clubs. Same thing. I'm like seating. I'm running food. I'm like doing dish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to be around. I'm watching the difference between like a one night on a Wednesday versus somebody who comes in for 5 show weekends, how shows are different when it's locals versus the people that come in. I got to see a set from Deborah DiGiovanni. If you're familiar, rocked my shit.
I'm shaking my head. Yes, but not really.
You don't know Deborah?
Not too much.
Okay. Deborah DiGiovanni. She's like a Canadian comedian and she is, I had only seen like, well, I've seen a lot of amazing comics, but I saw them all done in like a very buttoned up, like men wearing blazers and like completely structured and like, you know, just like very much old school comics. Deborah came in, brought her notebook on stage, ripped for like a full hour and was like, had this energy that I was like completely inspired. And then I was like, now I can start doing comedy. And then I started.
Sometimes I put a blazer on with my JNCOs.
Hey, and that's such your vibe? That's the vibe. Get them both. You still do stand-up then? You're too busy. Look what you're doing. Look at all this. This is too much.
I put together, I didn't for a very long time. And then I put together like, and I've produced a lot of shows and done a lot of different things that I enjoyed. So I wanted to kind of combine everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I put together like a multimedia kind of performance.
Fun.
And then I kind of paused again, but I still have that. It's not timely. And now I'm working on, I'm writing a lot actually right now on traditional stand-up so I can like have that in there as well. And so I'm putting together an act. I have a lot of friends like, dude, come feature, come out, hang out, just whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just, and so like I have a lot of opportunities offered that I'm like, I don't want it. Like, because I didn't want to go out and do the same thing I was doing 10 years ago.
Of course.
You know.
I know. You got to keep it moving.
Like, I'm a different person.
You're a dad?
I'm a dad. I have 2 kids.
I'm
a, you know, disgruntled business owner. Like, it just, I'm happy and angry at the same time.
I know that. It's confusing. And the material also takes a little bit of time to catch up to where you're at. I did like...
It's like finding my voice again or
for
something.
For sure. When I got married... I was like still doing jokes about being a slut. And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm somebody's husband.
Yeah.
I have to like update this shit. It's interesting.
Did you? And you did.
I did.
You did.
I did. But now I'm much more, because I'm doing hours.
Yeah.
Like I am way more comfortable having my anchor jokes that I know will work that have like, basically I feel like there's these big pillars of jokes. And then around it, I'm way more comfortable talking about things that are happening way more in the now than I was like
with your life.
Yeah. Yes. My life, things that have happened today, like where I'm at, just way more comfortable being like, okay, I'm not sure exactly where this is going to go, but I trust that I am funny enough that I will find what I want to talk about in these moments around these big pillar jokes.
We're going on this journey together.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's kind of the magic of when you're doing it. Cause otherwise if you're doing stand up, most nights of the week and you're running the same hour, I think I would be very bored doing the same work. Because there are comics that are word for word. Not me.
I don't want
to. I can't do that.
There's comics who have been doing the same act for 20 yeah. plus years. I just.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
I would lose my mind.
When does it stop being fun?
I ask because I'm opening for people who like
safe and comfortable, and if you're working,
great, you don't want to mess with it,
right? But at some point it's like that rush of like, ooh,
yes,
that new joke killed.
New jokes killing is fully cocaine, and also I love the process of figuring it out. Like, that's the best part is, like, you have this puzzle that you're not sure how it fits together. If every night you're putting together the same puzzle, you're acting your jokes.
Yeah.
No, I want to have fun. I want to sometimes, like, not have it not work.
Find those dopamines.
I'm chasing it. I'm chasing it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you bomb, and then that's you're alive again.
That's okay.
Yeah.
A little humbling.
Yeah, I'm humbled. Constantly. All times I'm humbled out here.
Are you at the point where you like have to be on stage to feel good about mm-hmm. yourself?
And does normal? That go away?
Well, if you just quit, I don't know. I can't answer that. But I don't know if I feel good about myself or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate myself for other reasons, but like
I
more
feel
like I'm a fatty. I'm a fatty.
I might be nuts, but I oscillate between two feelings, and it's rarely anything in between. It's either I'm the worst comedian to ever live, I should never speak publicly, every thought I've had is garbage and unfunny, or I'm the voice of our generation, I'm the best to ever do it, and if you're seeing me, you're witnessing a star, a god, a legend.
Right there. Kiss it. Kiss the hand.
Yeah, those are my two emotions. I'm either like
presence of greatness.
Exactly. And I think that I'm like, am I insane? Probably.
But the you teeter that with the I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You do. And that's okay. I think that's okay. I mean, that's a comedian, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that's what helps balance confidence and ego.
Yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. it's really easy to let your ego get out of control.
Yeah. Well, we see it.
We see it.
A lot.
A lot. So like those moments of like, God, I suck.
Mm-hmm.
I think are healthy.
I think it's mandatory or you're going to become a huge piece of shit.
And nobody wants to deal with a piece of shit.
No.
There's too many comics.
Yeah.
There's too many good comics. And there's just, because it's not just who the industry's providing. Like, I remember this conversation. I mean, I was out, Jesus, like 10, 15 years ago, just out featuring somewhere. And mm-hmm. they're like, and they were like talking about some guy who was just hammered and drunk. And even like that long ago, they're like, there's just too many comics to have to deal with that shit.
Yep.
And that has not gone away. If anything, it just keeps getting more and more and more.
Well, there's a lot more also ways to get stage time now than when I started.
Well, it's a lot easier to headline now too.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to build a fan base.
Yep.
You're taking a great route with that. You know, I mean, obviously it's working.
Yeah.
You know, sold out downstairs.
You hear that? Sold out downstairs.
Saturday's it's already sold out in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Friday's packed.
Yep.
Like we're just, you know,
we're pushing.
Pushing.
But now you're competing also with like a lot of different kinds of acts. You know what I mean? The amount of influencers that ask me how to do stand up because they're touring and they don't know how to do stand up.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of other types of, I'm like, I'm oftentimes paired with like, it's drag bingo here at
now,
the comedy club.
Are they
club.
Asking how to perform or how to get into the clubs?
Both.
Tell them to go ask for a Wednesday or something or Tuesday. That's it. I'm like, I am very picky. Like we need funny people
mm-hmm.
on our stage. And I think that's worked over time.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's caught up and I've had this conversation where I would rather like people who are only like brand new, hey, I'm brand new, but I have a bunch of followers and they're going to come see me for a show. Great. You're going to perform on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Good.
I don't care how many people, if you're not funny, if you're not experienced, if you're not a comic, I cannot put you on my weekends.
Right.
Not every club feels the same as I do. They just look at I look at a big picture.
Yeah.
I would rather make the money midweek and make some money on the weekends.
Yeah.
Knowing that everybody that comes out is going to have a great time.
Yes.
And they're going to come back.
Right.
The best thing I can hear is what, like, oh, I'll be like, oh, who'd you see last time you're here? I don't remember, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's the thing. You don't want somebody coming to a show for somebody that is not, doesn't have experience doing stand-up. You have a packed room. They go, well, I'm not going back there again. That wasn't really comedy. Right. The amount of times too that, like the first year that I was headlining, I would see people after a show and they would be like, oh, I didn't know you were so good at stand-up. Maybe they found me through a podcast or they've seen me on something that is comedic, but not necessarily my stand-up.
Right.
And they're like, oh shit, I didn't know you were like gonna do stand-up. And I'm like, you're gonna see 60 minutes of stand-up with zero crowd work. You're gonna see 75 minutes of stand-up that is like jokes and like a little meandery, but you're not gonna see like no jokes, you know what I mean? And watching people be like, holy shit, makes you know that like the way that people are coming to comedy clubs has changed a lot.
Well, and to anybody coming up looking to break in, like even up and coming social media people,
yeah,
I can say this, there's not a club in the country, especially like road clubs, who don't want to sell 100 tickets on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that's not, you don't even have to sell out. If you can put 100 people on a Wednesday, man, go do that.
Yes.
You're going to make a lot more money.
Yes.
And you're going to work a lot more.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll be happy.
You will be happy because you're going to be performing for your people.
Yes.
Building your fan base over time, getting your clips. Ooh, I like your evil eye.
Thank you. I was just in Istanbul.
So I have this whole thing.
Yes.
Here.
We're connected. What the fuck?
I got the bracelet, but then I have the tattoo as well.
I love.
Of the eyes around.
I've got them everywhere. Look at it.
Oh, on the rib, on the wrist.
It's crazy.
You have here and there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that all? Is that one too?
Yep. I'm like, do I have more?
Are those all from Istanbul?
Istanbul, Greece, and then I think I picked one up in Cairo as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to replace my idea was to replace, this is the most ADD jump from that conversation. My idea was to replace this with this, but it was a little high up and I had just enough room to still wear this. And I'm like, yeah, bet. Let's just keep it.
I love
Let's just keep it all.
I love it.
See that?
See that, everyone?
My wrist.
You're protected.
Protected.
And we need that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, you're here to protect me.
And you're here to protect me. We're protecting each other.
But one of us can fight, and it's not me.
It's not me either.
Sierra.
Please.
We're all fucked.
Shit. And that's why we have the eyes.
But yeah, it's so easy to get in the doors these days if you present yourself well and have some followers.
And I'm always looking for long term. I want to do stand up forever. I want to do stand up until I'm like washed up, old, nasty bitch, telling freaky little jokes to, you know, geriatric people. I would like that to be my future. I don't plan on like retiring, getting a pop and then doing something else. I'd like to do stand up until I'm hopefully die on stage.
I want to retire.
You do?
I think at some point. I think, well, I'm 45.
Yeah.
I think by 60. I think my goal is to maybe open a few more clubs.
Yeah.
Or find somebody to give me a whole lot of money for the ones I have. And then, like, by 60, just be done. My kids will be graduated high school by that point. They're 10 and 11, so I got about 8 more years, and, you know.
And then you can just chill.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do when you chill?
Well, hopefully make enough money to live off interest.
Okay. Hey. Hey, it's a good plan.
That's my plan.
I should worry more about money. That's something I should
worry about more about money. That just is a recent goal, too. Like, wait, I can live off the interest of my money and hardly spend my money.
That's rich people thinking.
That's what, but I'm not there yet.
Well, we're getting there.
I am also a degenerate gambler, so we got a long journey.
I do have to work on that gambling problem.
I mean, I'm going to put my kids in school, and then whatever. I owe nothing.
No, I'm trying to do it forever, but I'm a freak. I'm sick. You know what I mean?
Maybe a retirement plan could be like open a club in Florida or something like that. Or
Florida?
Like
Florida?
Just somewhere where I can just like Hawaii? I don't know. Yeah. Like somewhere nice to just be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can just be, but maybe if I like, I don't know, at some point figure out what's wrong with my mind, then settle.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just like it too much.
Yeah.
But maybe my wife could retire someday.
I mean, I've also, like I said, been in this industry for 25 years.
Yeah.
So, like, there are days that I'm just tired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And whether, it doesn't matter what side of this industry is a grind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
I have agents calling me during dinner because they're in LA. They don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, I'm like, bro, I'm eating with my fucking kids. Like, I'm not.
Because you do everything. You book it and you run these two clubs.
I have an amazing staff.
Okay, good.
I do the bookings and I lead the marketing, but I have a guy who does the marketing. He's amazing with posting and engagements and gaining followers. I think we get about 5% a month on our Instagram.
Nice.
And it went down from 10 because our numbers went up, right?
Yeah.
But he has managed to continue that. Like, and just the engagement, we have our ads down and mm-hmm. we're always learning how to do ads better. And
good.
We talk about marketing so much and we just promote so much.
I just found out today that I'm fully, my account on Instagram has been like suspended from the algorithm for months. And
whoa,
I could
really?
Tell because I was posting as normal and I typically am growing like period, like I'll just kind of steadily be going up. It stopped months ago. I finally looked at my page. They're like, oh yeah, we are restricting your whole account. I looked into why, cause I'm like, why the fuck is this happening? In my bio, it says huge lesbo. And apparently the word lesbo has just been restricted a few months ago. And I'm just like fucked into jail. I'm on Instagram jail.
Are you able to promote and run ads?
Well, I don't run ads.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you?
I've just never run an ad.
My God, do you know how many more tickets you would sell if you ran ads? Like, bro.
Fuck.
Bro.
For wait, real. Is everybody running ads?
Oh my God, you should be. You should be running ads.
With money? You pay it?
Oh yeah.
What?
You know all those followers you get?
Yes.
Well, they don't let you reach them unless you pay to reach them. But not
fuck!
But not
God damn it. I'm out here. This is my job. This is my full-time job.
We're here to teach.
Fuck.
We're here to learn. Are you serious?
I haven't run a single ad.
So all of this whole sold out show is just people going, "Oh, Rachel's here."
Well, I post about it.
Okay.
I post about it.
Right.
I talk about it. I like, you know, every clip that I do, I like end it with a flyer that has the cities and the dates, but I'm not using money on ads.
Are you selling out full weekends?
Yes.
Fuck it. Then don't. Then why? Why do it? If you're selling out
full. Well, if you're saying I can sell more.
More. Oh, yeah. If you're not running ads now, my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're changing my life. I feel like a fucking noob. Rube. Idiot. Bitch. Fuck yeah.
But we didn't, because you sell, so we didn't say anything. But I promise, if your tickets weren't moving, we would have gone. We
would have
been like, hey, yo, who's running the social media? Can you put us in touch with? So, what are our plans?
Me.
Are we running at you? Do it yourself.
I do it.
It's amazing. Yeah, you're doing great.
Fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now I wonder if running an ad will get me out of Instagram jail.
Oh, pay them. Did
yeah.
you change your bio?
I changed my bio. I put it huge comedian.
Can you ask for?
Which isn't as fun.
Can you ask for an appeal at this point?
I submitted today. I changed the bio and I submitted.
So a long time ago, Meta made it so you can't run ads to market Christians or queers. Like,
and you know I'm both.
You can't. So here's the deal.
Meta
ads used to be very big on keywords.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to be able to pick topics, interests, religion, orientation.
Yeah.
You can't
great.
Do
specifics.
Very specific. And now you can't do that anymore. Like you can't. And we used to be like, oh, if you like Dave Chappelle, we would just use stand-up comedy.
And that's my same fan base.
Meta now just wants you to let them figure it out.
Interesting.
We run ads. We'll do like what we'll try to do starting off is we'll run two ads for one person
mm-hmm.
and kind of let them fight it out. And Meta will take it and it will find the people who buy the tickets.
Wow.
And then once they start buying tickets, it enters. You have to have enough conversions within a certain amount of time. But once they do, it enters what's called a learning phase. And once it's past the learning phase, then it's just boom, 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 boom. I mean, trust me, we're now, and I know a lot of people do it, but we're new to this. So we're learning how to run ads for people. Mm-hmm. Like if you're, because there's so many comics who have no idea how to run an ad.
Yeah, me included, apparently.
So like that whole ad access or stuff like that, like we're now, that's our goal is to like, if they're not going to run it, we're going to run it for them because it's the only way. We took our whole TV, but I mean, radio, TV, yeah. It's all dead. So that's why we do this.
Yeah.
I put on specialty shows to record and do content because it hit a point where it's like, bro, this normal marketing ain't working for this industry. So we were like, what's working? What's leading the industry? What's selling tickets in this industry? Mm-hmm. And it's content and podcast sales.
Yeah.
And podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, let's do that. And so like we collab with the comics on these reels. Mm-hmm. We have a house show that we have several recorded. We are going to start recording, dropping reels for like actually immediately. I have done a crowd work only show that we've recorded. And so like, we're going to start dropping all this stuff. I don't want to go into details on the house show cause it's very unique and it's very fun. I definitely tell you off. We'll let people know. As soon as I talk about it, it's just going to be done everywhere.
Fuck.
But it's the best mix of pro wrestling and comedy you could ever imagine.
It's smart of you to keep growing. I mean, I think that's how it works now.
Yeah. So
you have to be able to shift with what's working.
Find the voice of the show and get it smooth and stuff like that. And then like, okay, we're ready.
Wow.
And so we're going to start doing it every month now, actually. So
genius. Yeah. Smart. That's what you need.
It's the best.
Otherwise,
what
are
your
goals? Are
what do you want to do? More comedy. More. Are you happy with your one pack? I know a lot of people are like, I have three podcasts. I have five.
I love Two Dykes and a Mic, and it's a podcast that I've been doing forever.
It's working
and
for you.
I love it. I love it so much. I love having like a queer fan base. I'm like working on growing people who are aware of me. I think that's what that's kind of what you have to do now to sell tickets. So I'm working on expanding my fan base, but I really love like how things have been. I mean, I think the toxic part of this industry is the second you start doing well, they want you to be doing so much better. And I don't know if it's because I'm so Midwest or what it is, but I love the place that I'm at right now. And I have since the second I started doing it. So I'm balancing that, like that endlessly satisfied beast with like really enjoying the process of what I'm doing.
Makes you feel that you have to do better when you're doing good?
I would say my team.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I think there is a constant need for more. Or maybe that's just LA. That's kind of how the vibe is out there.
More what though?
More followers, more ticket sales, more cities, bigger, better.
How many followers on Instagram do you have?
I think I have like 160.
160,000?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's what I think. Like, that's great.
Yeah. But I can see where they're like, we'll grow, keep, but that will keep growing. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's going to keep growing.
I'm working on it. And I had a special come out last year and it's on like Amazon. It's on like United Airlines. Like if you're flying.
I fly Southwest.
Me too. I just spent, so I'm going to New Orleans.
You're
coming
like,
up soon.
You play my special. I'm going to Southwest. Trust your judgment.
I would like to do, I'd like to have like a special on somewhere like more reachable to a larger fan base.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you this because I want to manifest that there's a big special coming for
me. This is all you need to reach people.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody reaches. I mean, I'll do it at home, but I mean, like, I mean, there's a chance that you can make more money on YouTube than you do.
Yeah.
With like
oh, for sure. We're watching that happen. But the truth is that there's a part of me as like a purist that thinks every time that you record stand up and play it, you're losing something. You're selling a little bit of the magic that happens for live performance. So I'm trying to always find the balance of making myself creatively happy and also growing my career so that I can do this until I die on stage.
Well, you're making a lot of people happy along the way and in the progress.
I
Sierra
hope so.
Is giving me the look. We're about to. I know. We have 20 seconds. Rachel Scanlon, Two Dykes and a Mic. Yes. What's your handle?
At Rachel Scanlon Comedy. I'm on tour right now. It's called A Bit Much. I'm going to like 20 more cities just in the spring. My podcast is touring in the fall. So get tickets at twodykesandamike.com or Rachel Scanlon Comedy.
Bye.
Bye. 20 seconds, go.